Been a while, folks. Hi.
Hello.
So, what's going on, folks? This is James Tates. I am your transformational and mindset coach, and I'm being hosted with
me, Eva Morales, master NLP practitioner and hypnosis coach. Had to add the master part in it. Yeah.
Leveling up. I love it. Mm-hmm. I love it. I love it. I love it.
More skills, being there for what is it called? Just self-improvement and also to better serve my clients. So super excited.
I love this. And congratulations, by the way, to you, Eva. I know, if I may mention on a side note, this is something that you've been working towards for quite some time. You've been like the clear-cut epitome of self-improvement, self-development, any and everything self. So congratulations to you. You're doing the work.
Thank you.
So
absolutely.
That said, welcome. Welcome to Break Out of the Unhinged. Episode 4.
Yes, episode 4.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, listen, what is it that we were going to talk about? Change, right? Change.
I need to change my memory because I'd be forgetting which episode we'd just be on because we just be talking. You know what I'm saying? I was actually talking to my mother a few days ago, and she fried me. She fried
me. What'd she say?
Man, listen. I'm going to pull this mic real close. Scoot this chair in a little closer. I made a boo-boo. I forgot my mama's birthday.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
And on top of that, this is even worse. She's a Leo.
Who?
Devil's Work.
Hey, Jane, I saw that episode where you said, what is it about in the other episode that I just recorded with the Holistic Healers community? He was talking about how he forgot his mom's birthday. I guess it's this upcoming weekend. I'm just like, what is up with these, you know, guys like forgetting their mother's birthday? No. Ooh. Over here like, ooh. I'm sure you have a lot going on. Remember your mom.
Well, I forgot my mom's birthday on the 4th.
Mm.
And my stepdad's birthday, who was also on the 4th. Both Leos.
Oh, fascinating.
So, forgot her birthday, and I called her the day after. I was like, hey, Mom, happy belated birthday. I kind of figure you forgot. And then you know what she said?
What did she say?
Didn't you forget your birthday last year?
Oh, like you forgot your own birthday?
Yes. Yes.
Nobody reminded you of your own birthday?
Listen.
What does that say, James? That you need to celebrate, James?
I do. I work.
For you, all the time. Celebrate yourself.
I do. I work. I love to work. I love, like, when I'm feeling that progress, I'm feeling that, you know, that gusto, there's no stopping me. It's like I get a tunnel vision and I go for the fences until I get what I get. And to your point, I'm not going to run away from what you're saying. However, sure, I suppose I could celebrate a day or two, but yeah, I like doing it in moderation. Obviously, I play my video games, and that's celebration enough for me. So, but nonetheless, I love my work. I love, you know, I think what I've learned over time and getting into this subject, segueing into this, is like the change that we've all been through, right? And I love what it is that I do from a place of my purpose. And really, like, leaning in and embracing what it's like to be of service to others. being a part of someone's journey and watching it like just unfold. It's like watching, like, I don't know if you've seen Bruce Willis in Die Hard. That's like a great action movie, but it's like watching Die Hard all over again. But the twist is, within that action scene, it's like another action scene, another one. It's like I get a kick out of that. Just being a part of somebody's movie and just watching them just flourish, watching them grow, just watching them want it more for themselves than I would for them, right? And just like, I guess what I'm trying to say is like I really fell in love with being an agent of change. And that says a lot in terms of the world that we live in, from a place of society, I'm just processing these thoughts real quick. It just says a lot, because in this world, we don't see or come across too many people, you know, to be gifted that opportunity to be some type of positive change.
Like you have to decide that is what your mission on earth is, like being an agent of positive change, and how that really is what makes the world a better place. Us, all of us working together to help people who want the healing to heal and be able to move in the direction of love and move in the direction of growth and evolution.
Crazy how you said that. My mama told me I need to evolve and start remembering my birthdays. No, I love how you put that out there. I love how you talked about, you know, being that agent of change and really raising, you know, the vibrations of what's around us. I think, like I said before, I don't think we live in a world to where I feel like we're being tested on a day-to-day, right? We're being tested on a day-to-day to where it's like, all right, how do we break away from societal thinking? How do we find ourselves with people who are like-minded like us? Or even better, in these moments to where we're talking to people who are not as like-minded as us, right? How do we provoke that mustard seed, this, like, change from the size of a mustard seed within their thoughts? Right?
Sometimes it's just like sharing your story and seeing how far you've come to show that it's possible for them as well.
Mm-hmm. See?
To be able to like move in the direction of what it is to be here and enjoy what you're doing and be able to be in alignment, and then also have that energetic exchange so that you can see that those folks are committed.
Facts. I think that says a lot, you know what I'm saying, in terms of everything that you've just mentioned. I think that says a lot in terms of everything that, you know, when I think about it, now that you said that, it's like the opportunity to change is always there. And everything that we touch, everything that we see, everything that we taste, speaking of which, I would appreciate a good steak right about now. But it's like, it's crazy how change is always available, even through our senses. It's nuts. It's always available through our senses. It's available through everything that we, you know, we can grab hold of. And, you know, we talked about in previous episodes, the art of transformation and running our own race, right? When it comes to change, there's times where we have to change course, right? There's times where we have to change course in what it is that we're running. And this all change is a part of growth. You know, I know.
And like, what are you running, right?
Yes.
Like, what program are you running in your mind? It's like, are they serving you? Are they not serving you?
Yes.
Are you staying at effect of your life? Are you starting to create change in terms of taking accountability and being very much, what would you call it, like trying to be accountable to create the change that you want to see in your life. Because at the end of the day, nobody can change anything. You can change you. You can change your environment. You can change the people you surround yourself with. But if you're not making those changes, there isn't going to be like growth. So if you want growth, you need to be around people who also want growth, who want evolution, who want to excel, who want to heal.
It's funny how you said that. I actually went through a meeting with my leadership for my day job, and we was talking about our tree of progress. Within that tree, you have your traditional leaves, right? The leaves of nostalgia, our friends, what we think is our community, the people around us. And then as we grow, we get older, right? Those leaves get old. They age. They fall off. Right? But this tree of progress is still stacked anew. This tree is still holding strong and firm, right? Root deep. But within those leaves, as they fall off, new leaves grow. New community. New people. New situations. New opportunities, new ventures, the whole nine, right? And change within that it's hard to navigate that. And there's nothing wrong with it. I think there's beauty of being in this labyrinth of change. There's beauty of being in this labyrinth of change because now you're trying to figure it out. There's fun in that. There's fun in that chaos. Well, at least for me, that is. So, you know, when we think about the part that what we're trying to get to is like when we're dealing with change, do we know when we provoke change or do we know when change is forced? See, it's one thing when change is forced upon us and we're going through our transformation and we're just trying to figure it out. But within that force of change, there's going to be, I look at it as more somewhat handheld, right? You're brought with people right in front of you. Like for me and you, we met each other like what? It felt like eons ago, at least in my eyes. But no, but we met like almost 2 years ago, right? And look where it has. Not even a year, barely, right?
Yeah, barely.
I told you I forgot my birthday, so don't mind me. I'm terrible with time. Anyway, so but no, on a serious note, right? It's like we met quite some time ago, but look where it has brought us. We're sitting here overcoming fears, our personal fears. We're overcoming so much, right? Now there's times where we want that change. What does that journey even look like? Is it something that we've manifested? Is it something to where, how can I put it? Is it something to where we physically force it, right?
So, I think change is also about lessons. Mm. Like if you're not willing to change, you have not learned the lesson. And you're not going to change until you learn the lesson. Or you have somebody that has like different hypnosis modalities or like you with your analogies to help you reframe what it is that you've been through or what it is that, like, to get away from that victim mentality.
What's the worst hood to be in?
Victimhood, the worst hood.
Mm-hmm. Shameless plug. No, I think you're right on that. You know what I'm saying? I love how you put that out there from a place of victimhood. It's like thinking about it. It actually sucks to see people go through that when they choose, I guess in this case, the wrong hood to be in, as opposed, you know, to the right neighborhood of change, the white picket fence The apple pie on the ledge. You remember what we talked about? That apple pie. Be the one with the pie on the ledge, folks. I'm taking it. I say that with love. And I will be sure to leave you a review on, you know, Yelp. I'll send you a tip through Zelle. I'll send you something. I'll compensate you. But I digress. Change. I'll say this much. I remember when I got cut loose from Apple, right? And there's like, after a few days have passed from this termination of Apple, I had one particular friend that reached out to me. And she hit me up. She was like, if you think about it, you kind of manifested this. And I ain't gonna hold you. I was in the hood. I was in the hood of victimhood.
It's okay. We've all been there.
Nah. I was in my pride for a bit. What the hell are you talking about? She's like, well, think about it. You know, you came in like, she's like, you might not have said it as much, but you physically manifested it. You was just tired. You was burnt out. Like, you was just drained. It was like watching a zombie in the building sometimes. And I sat with that for a second. And I, you know, when we talk about the art of our words, the art of our thoughts, and how it has so much power, sometimes our physical, we don't even take into account of the physical state, the physical being of where we are, and how that can manifest, or in this case, provoke change in its own way, right? Never thought of that. And when she put it out there like that, I was like, I never thought about physical manifestation. But when you simplify it, like right now, we're on this platform, podcasting or speaking our truth, right? What is this manifesting for us in terms of what's next? What is this manifesting for us in terms of what's ahead? You feel me? Now.
Yeah, just being able to change the world with our voice and mm-hmm. being able to allow people to see that there is something out there that you can do for yourself, starting with expressing what it is that you need to do for you. Because at the end of the day, the person that has control over your life is you. It's Facts. Like you're being sold that other people control your life. But if you stop listening to the outside noise and tune in and really see what it is that you want at your core, then you can bring it into fruition and stop saying stuff outside of you controls. Nothing controls you. You have the ability to surrender to the path that is your life.
Surrender the pie to me, please. No, I'm joking. No, I love how you said that, though, in terms of like that control piece. We always talk about the word control, and it can go both ways. It's like there's a duality. There's a juxtaposition to when we think about the word control. Right?
I'm very against that word. I have a tattoo that says rebellious warrior. No gracias to the control. Sorry, you were saying.
No. Listen, if nobody in the world don't feel you, I feel you. I hate control. I hate being controlled. I hate being put in a box. I hate that. Only boxes I like is pizza boxes full of pizza. But this box of control, no mas. No, but, no gracias. Boxes of food, I'm down for it. Hold me, yeah, put me in that box. Put me in that box. No box of control. Terrible dessert option. But control is like, there's a duality to it. And I heard this from my mother. I had a conversation with her, and she was like, a person with control issues have zero control. And when you think about it from the place of change, in this case, right? when you think about it from the place of change, it's like we're given an option versus somebody who has control issues. They default.
Control, I feel like, has to do with people wanting to keep others safe in their world. You know, in my upbringing, I had that where the parents were very like controlling, or more like my mom's like ex-husband, so like the stepfather, he's very controlling, and it was from a place to keep me safe, but also isolated. So it has to do with you shining your light and being who it is that you are. Because when people want to control you, that they're not allowing you to be who it is that you are.
That's
like if you're in a relationship and that's the type of relationship you have, it's not allowing you to be who it is that you are. Because in a relationship, if there is love, there's no control. And if somebody says like, oh no, I do this because I love you, whatever, it's like you have to see where your woundings are and how are you like accepting that. Because where did you see that? Probably in your upbringing. Where did I see that? In my upbringing, you know?
Or .. This is where the duality comes in.
A ver, the duality.
True. Or this could be showing you the blocks and inhibitions based upon your life path for you to break out of it.
If you want to break out. If it's in your soul contract to break out at that point in time.
True. I will say that for me. So, for me, it was like, there's a lot of things that I've seen and witnessed from a place of feeling inhibited or controlled, but it got me to a place to where it's like, I find myself not running away, but leaving the stable to then explore what's out there, to then see what is for me. Where can I find change through growth and growth through change? Sometimes we get through these situations and then like, just like what you said, right? We have a choice. We have an option. We have an opportunity to where we could essentially stunt our growth, to stunt our fall, or we could break out of this. Because to be controlled is to develop, or is to be unhinged. Shameless plug to the podcast. But when you go through that, it could put you in a position where it's like you're forced to think. It's like, all right, I don't like this. I don't like the way this makes me feel. To be like, this whole control stuff is for the birds. This makes my skin crawl. This makes my ass itch. How do I get out of this? I hate it that I hate being controlled that much. How do I get out of this? What is one thing I can do to provoke this change? Yes, I really feel that way. I ain't even gonna hold you. That's a true story. That's how much I have a that's how strong my distaste of control is. So it puts me in a position to where I look at the relationships that I've had, not just love, but like friendships, anything with a ship, battleship, sunken ship, anything with a ship in it, I just evaluated. And there was a lot of ships that had to fall. So I had to really reevaluate that. And it got me to this place to where I started learning my worth. I started learning my value. I started learning all of it. Sometimes the people will tell you, if you don't like this, go find less and whatnot. You know what I'm saying? Go find less. And I'm like, well, shit, don't we all go to the store to get a discount on something? You know me, I like a little bit of Dollar General from time to time, you know what I'm saying? But no, seriously. Sometimes that discount is the biggest investment that we need to make. And what I mean, and let me slow that down. People that love control. People that love control, when they say, like, hey, if you don't want to deal with this, go find less. So you damn straight, I'm going to find less. I'm going to find less, and I'm going to gain more freedom. I now have the tools, and I've learned the lessons. What's it going to hurt me to live life on a discount for a little bit? Do you see where I'm going with this? What's it going to hurt me to just, like, clip what I thought everything was, to then go explore, go expand, go be all the things that I want to be?
Yeah, so it's not even less of somebody else, it's more of you, and more pouring that love into you, and more of you allowing yourself to be who it is that you are. Because people who like control, excuse me, people who like control, they don't let others shine. They don't let others be who it is that they are, and do it from a place of authenticity, and do it from a place of love and connection and care and compassion. But then at the same time, I think control is just a defense mechanism for feeling unsafe as a child. Mm. Because you just want to make sure that everything's okay for you and your loved ones, when in reality, you're doing damage by not allowing people to be who it is that they are, by not allowing people to really connect with each other in the way that makes it so that both people can be who it is that they are. Because many people are still just discovering who it is that they are. And I feel like that's at any stage in life, you know?
That's deep. I love the authenticity part. Just to touch on that for a second, if I may. Authenticity. So real quick, Eva, how has authenticity provoked change within you?
I think for me, authenticity has just been really allowing myself to blossom into who it is that I am, and allowing myself to go on the path of my purpose on this earth to be able to, like, help other people release emotions. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And being able to connect with their emotions. Because a year ago, I was so numb. Like, I did not feel my feelings. I struggled a lot with just even, because I wasn't allowed to have feelings. Like, I couldn't have anger. So that shut all of the other ones down, mm-hmm. You know? So it was just very difficult to look at a situation from a place of, what is it called? I'm getting a little choked up.
Take your time.
Look at a situation from a place of, how can I pour love into myself as a byproduct of realizing who it is that I am? So authenticity is just realizing who it is that you are and having clarity on that. Because once you know who you are, nobody can tell you who you are. Nobody's judgment can, what do you call it? Nobody's judgment can get in the way of you expressing yourself. Because if you let judgment do that to yourself, it won't allow you to be who it is that you are. So basically, being authentic is just living judgment free from yourself, from others, and detaching yourself from anything that other people may say. What about you? What's your definition of authenticity?
Thank you for asking. I love that. By the way, I do love your answer. I think that was beautifully put. I think that was eloquently put, to be honest with you. Authenticity. I think of it like wrestling. I love wrestling. I'm a huge Stone Cold Steve Austin fan. Stone Cold, if you catch this, I'm a big fan of you. Please sign me. Please mail me an autograph. Thank you. Other side from that, no. Authenticity for me, It's like Monday Night Raw. Hear me out. Let me, you know, I'm big on analogies and painting the picture and getting my Bob Ross on. Why do I say Monday Night Raw from an authenticity standpoint? Where does this come from? I remember growing up, and when I really got big into wrestling, it was the WWE Attitude era. So you had Shawn Michaels, you had the Heartbreak Kid, you had D-Generation X, you had The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Undertaker, Kane. Like, if you know, you know. I'm sorry, I've been watching a lot of wrestling, YouTube, and football as of late. Don't mind me, but it's resonating with me from the place of, like, man, I used to look at myself in the mirror like I was the Black Stone Cold Steve Austin. And that's the bottom line, because James Tate said so. But it was like those moments to where you look at yourself in the mirror, that's like where you're able to like really love on yourself and really just embrace who you are. And then when you, the minute you get out of that mirror, you go back to your real world life. And I remember a true story. This actually happened to my, you know, I was running around in my drawers acting like I was one of these wrestlers in my high top Chucks. And I was sitting there. That's the bottom line. I was in that mode, like I was a wrestler. I leave out the bathroom, out the mirror. My dad just sitting there at the door like this. Is this something that you want to tell me? I felt embarrassed. Let's talk about that little emotion for a second. That little glimpse of embarrassment, it was like, yo, I couldn't even be myself in that moment. Now it's like I'm worried about what he's thinking about me, seeing me in some drawers, some Fruit of the Loom drawers, and some high top Chucks. I already look half a mess. But being in that mirror, how do I take that mirror moment and live that out loud? So getting to your question of like, what does that mean for me? It's like just living my life out loud with no qualms, no worries. I don't give a damn about what people think of me. I probably won't care if I take your pie on top of that too, off the ledge. But
I'm with his pie.
Apple pie, peach pie, pizza pie. I love pies. No, but it's like just being my radiant self and just living it. And whoever's for me will show up and whoever's not won't. They'll fall off or they'll run like hell. I probably will run away from me too. But no, I'm joking. But that's where authenticity comes into play for me. I love who I am. I love my goofy side. I love the fact that my mind has so much depth. I love the fact that I can speak change into people. I breathe it. I love the fact that I can do all the things that I put my mind to. I love the people I'm around. You know, I love the people that are for me. Plot twist, I love the people who's against me. I love that shit. I love a good hater. Let me tell you why. I love a good hater because they motivate me to continue being me.
I love that. That's beautiful.
I love that shit. I thrive off of that. And that's what it was like. No, I'm serious, man. I'm dead ass. It was like,
I love it.
Keep hating me. Keep hating me. Where the rest of them at? Tell them all to come out. I love it. And what it does, like from having haters, it just consistently provokes change in me to where it's like, I'm going to continue proving them wrong. And I'm going to continue proving myself right.
I mean, part of it is like you're showing people who it is that they could be. If they allowed themselves to be in that power, to be in the authenticity, to be in the love and the compassion. Being in those frequencies will allow you to just easily and effortlessly be who it is that you are.
What it has done for me, though, I will say this, because you've seen my little Dr. Doom evil side come out. But no, it's like, but what it has, what does that mean? Let me set the table for you.
No, I said it's not the first time.
Don't do that. Don't expose me like that. What it has done for me, though, there's a video I came across from a Pastor Keon Henderson, but he says something that was like, I came across Instagram, you know, I was in IG world, IGN, it up, and I came across this post, and he was like, when that person's hating on you, or that person's leaving that relationship after you didn't gave it all, you're all, whatever they may have you, right, for whatever circumstance that may come, don't get bitter, get better. Don't get bitter by playing get back. Get better. Have your face on that goddamn billboard. I mean, he didn't say it exactly, but what I took away from it was get your face on a billboard. So when you drive, when that person is driving up the road and they see your mug on there, damn, I can't stand him. Damn. I just dogged him out, and now he's in this position. What is he doing? Why is he getting all this love?
You're just being who it is that you are.
Simple.
And when you're who it is that you are, it will naturally attract the people who are for you.
And that's what it comes down to. That's I want them to feel that. I don't want that to feel that from a place of
but ego. It's also you but it's also you teaching them. It's like, look, this is what it looks like to be myself. What does it look like to be you? Can you explore that instead of placing judgment or hate towards me? Explore who it is that you are. Explore the possibilities of being an agent of change and being somebody who can help others.
I want them. Voice. I want them to explore themselves soul deep, not skin deep, not ego deep, but soul deep. James, what does that mean? I got you. I knew that was coming up. I had to set the table at least one time. But no, what does that mean, right? I want them to look within themselves. I want them to go through that psychological breakdown to where they can tear it up, do what they need to do. Chuck a chunk away, whatever, to figure that out within themselves. And I want them to be in a position to where shit, they too can get inspired. How do you turn that hate into inspiration? Now the opportunity to create change is there. What you gonna do with it? You could either continue hating me, or you could hate the path that you're on. One or two things is gonna happen. Something's going to pop off. It's bound to pop off. Either you're going to pop off in the plunder, or you're going to pop off in the progress. You feel me? So the choice is yours. Do as you must with this hate that you have of me. Do as you must when you see my five head on that billboard as you drive down I-95. Yeah. Bask in the ambiance of my five head, and I do excellent skin routine. Looks amazing on that billboard when you see Soul Tribe Transformations, or when you see Growth Gratitude, you know, Giannis. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Yeah. Feel that.
I'm
hate.
Looking at responding.
Change I'm right there. At-
yeah. Right?
Change has like been provoked.
Yeah, I feel like that title resonated for a while, and I feel like it's time to change for something different. I'm a master NLP practitioner, hypnosis, so I'm able to do all of that, and I feel like now there's different words, but it's also three. Like, it's three words that I already, like, came up with that are going to allow me to, like, expand my business to be able to help everyone who wants the help. Because change is not about people who need the help. Change is about people who want the help, who want the healing, who want to step into the part of their life that they're the creator of.
Absolutely.
That they're the ones being held accountable for their own actions. They're the ones being in their power. So imagine yourself being in your power, being exactly who it is that you're meant to be, what it is that you're meant to do on this earth, and just allowing yourself to fully embody that and embrace that.
Love it. I'm assuming this is a more of a coming soon in terms of that.
Yeah, yeah. Within a week or so. Yeah.
I love it.
You know, evolution. Yes.
Hold up. Say that again.
I said change and evolution.
Evolution?
Did it sound like that? I meant to say evolution. What? However it sounds. If it
nah, nah, my don't name. Do that. Don't get the running. Nah, own that. Yeah.
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 Evolution.
Yeah.
Dude, you just came right here, right now.
Yeah. Okay. Shine your light. The hell? Yeah. Look that out. It's an evolution.
Yeah. It's funny. They were on the other podcast. They were like, oh, it's the Eva Glow or something like that. And I was just like, okay. Like, as he goes down in his chair.
I just had to put that out there. I just had to put that out there. I mean, I don't know about you. We all see it, but do you?
I mean, I am named after the first sinner, which changed the whole trajectory of how we live on Earth.
I mean, but you turn it into a positive, so.
Yeah. You're like, no, obviously, but I'm saying it's like taking the first step to do something that nobody else has done, or do something that may lead to like an expansion of humanity. Inevitably.
I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
You're taking something that was perceived as negative, and now you're turning it into something so beautiful. You know what I call that? A goddamn concrete rose. You broke down something, the life that I see that you're at right now, in terms of where you're at in this current stage. You went through so much hell that has given you such, that has toughened you up. But behind that toughness, there's a rose that's blossoming. Behind that rose is self-love. Behind that rose is greater compassion for self. Behind that rose, it's like, a lot of times when we talk about self, or to be selfish, we get dogged out. This is the way of society. We get dogged out. Oh my God, you selfish. And that's the thing. That's what I'm getting to. That's what I'm getting to. You are beautifully, as this rose grows through the concrete, you are beautifully redefining what it is to be selfish. You just jumped in my ass not too long ago before we started recording, talking about when was the last time you pampered yourself, James?
Oh, me, I love the pampering. And I'm that person that's going to be asking my friend, what have you done for self-care? How have you shown yourself love? That's who I am, because that's the path that I'm on, you know? And it's not about selfishness. It's about loving from a place of joy, from a place of happiness, from a place of enjoying the human experience. We're here to do all of that.
I guess people are curious in terms of how I responded to that, because I just got asked out before. However, ..
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna say it in an expanded form for the people. I've been in this journey as of late of the thing, like really reestablishing or revisiting, that's the word, I'm sorry, revisiting the things that I love. It's like, how can I turn this into money? I told you, we talked earlier, and it's like, I love my video games. And I've really revisited that in the conversation that I will have on Call of Duty. I have obtained clients off of Call of Duty before.
Yes. I mean, we all need help. We all want to be heard. We all want to be seen. We all want that change.
Absolutely, right? And it was like a lot of people, like I would say throughout this summer, it has, you know, shifted my way of thinking from the place of, you know, how do I love playing games. My games have been my source of therapy. My games have been my escape. And now it's transforming itself, or I've taken the opportunity to create this change to where it's like, you know what? Make some money off of it.
Huh. And it's from a place of energetic exchange.
Yes.
You know, because it's like how much you're willing to put into your self-growth. It's like, how much do people pay for like going to games? How much do people pay for doing these things out of entertainment? And like now going into the space of self-improvement, how can you invest your money into that? Like if you ask me when was the last time I bought something expensive, it's like not even expensive. It's like an investment in my growth, an investment in moving in alignment and being who it is that I'm meant to be to help the people that I'm meant to help. You know, learning about hypnosis, learning more advanced techniques about NLP, being around people who are on the same path, that is just priceless.
There you have it. I know for me, I've been getting hit with a bunch of questions in terms of like, what do you do for a living? Oh yeah, I'm a life coach. I use astrology. And when people hear that unique unicorn side of me, then it creates a sense of curiosity, right? It creates a sense of like, what else is there to you? What are the other layers? And when people hear that itself, right, now they start reviewing, take inventory and stock within themselves. Does that make sense? It's like, damn, he's doing all this and he's not worried about it. Like this dude's a whole prior Marine, prior military, I guess to generalize it, prior military, black guy. He plays video games. And now he's a life coach. Make it make sense. And he has a degree in computer science. What type of job? You know what I'm saying? Now they're reevaluating themselves to where it's like, you know, he's doing something that nobody's doing. He's pioneering something. And I want to tap into that inner pioneer. I want to tap into that, I guess, this sense of creativity that may come out.
Tapping into that healing energy that you have. Mm-hmm. That mindset shift of light transformation that you give to your clients.
Absolutely. And people are like, it's provoking that sense of thought. Sometimes change comes from the place of thought. It's like you plant that little seed of like, boop, right in their head. It's like, now they're starting to reevaluate what's on their mind. It's like, make it make sense. What are you doing to do this? Or what are you doing to do that? And A, B, C, and D, and now it's like, it's a lot. You know what I'm saying? So it's, I guess that's where it came into play for me. You know?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, by the way, shameless plug, if you, you can find me on Twitch. Anyway, yeah, so.
Okay, say it slower and louder so people can hear. I'm like, what he say? Like, that's.
You can find me on Twitch. Jimmy_Shiesty. Yes. That was like my Call of Duty name. And I stream for fun. But if you're like-minded like me, you want to tap into your own creativity, the link will be in my Twitch for my services. But yes. I've been really putting I've been putting a lot of, you know, thought in terms of the things that I love to do. I was like, why not exchange energy off of that? Money is energy, right? I think why not exchange energy and then put myself around people who are like-minded? And I have, it's crazy because you would think that Call of Duty would be about like, oh, we're going to talk about this this M4 and da-da-da-da-da. No, there's everyday people who get on there and they view it as a source of their therapy. They view it as their source of therapy, which is crazy to me. It's actually pretty mind blowing, if you ask me, from that standpoint of, you would never think that you would talk about like everyday stuff with people that's online. You would never think that you would talk about like the stuff that we go through. Like one minute we could be talking about the football season coming up. Next minute we could be talking about politics, and then the next minute could be talking about our day-to-day struggles. At least for me, that's what's my experience been like gaming. I was actually talking to somebody yesterday who's a content creator, and he was talking about, you know, potentially moving out west to actually buy some homes to make, you know, or buy a home to build a creator house. It'd be like a 5 to 6 bedroom house type deal to where people have a space to where they can create. So you got the kitchen area, people can do a cooking channel. People got, there's one room to where you could talk about spirituality. I don't know, but you know, imagine it in your own way as you will. But it's like a creator house to where people can do collaborations, fusions of different subjects. They can mix it up in however they want. And it just, it's a dope thing. We talked about it for a bit. He was like, man, you know, I think I'm going to do this, get this house out there in Cali and yada, yada, yada. Like, what's it going to hurt you to get like a few? Start with one. You know, I work in the behavioral space. You're like, well, what does that have to do with the creator's house? You can have somebody oversee that house. Or if you want to take it further, you could dedicate one house for cooking. You could dedicate one house for, you know, fashion. You could dedicate one. There's so much you could do with it. And you can have somebody oversee it. Or they can do like, they can teach other stuff within that household. You could have somebody that specializes in fashion to do it in that house. You know, or to teach other people about creating dope content. There's so many ideas. So, and you know, where he touched base with me on, he was like, you know, you do great in the spiritual side of the house and do this, that, and the third, and have people like living their best lives. And okay, I get it. You know, so no, it was like stuff like that. It pumps me up. I remember we were sitting in the lobby, the welcome lobby on this game for about a good 2 hours, just chopping it up, exchanging information and ideas, and just really. Like, there's actually one story that I want to touch on from that conversation that actually hit me heavy. And it was a story, I guess, I don't know the story in its full detail, but it was around Dana White in terms of how he dropped everything from where he once lived at in the East and then moved all the way out to the West. And the UFC became a big deal. And how he took that risk, because change is sometimes not only provoked by physical manifestation, your thoughts, your words, sometimes it's just provoked off of risk. And I actually like that. I love it. I love it. Folks, in case you didn't know, I have Scorpio placement, so don't mind me when my chaotic side comes out. But anyway, when they talked about that, his journey and essentially how he took that risk of just leaving everything that he knew, everything he had with him to just start anew. I was just so like eager and motivated behind it. And it when you think about change from the place of risk, oh. The gusto, the dog in Dana White to do such a thing. God damn. I love it. And when you think about it from a place of risk, at least in my opinion, that's what's been coming up for me a lot as of late. What is that? Yeah. What does that risk look like? Is the risk really a risk? Is the risk really a risk when you have, you know, faith of the size of a mustard seed? Is risk really a risk when you know what's ahead of you? You know what's on the other side? Because when we think about risk on a practical level or a surface level, we think about risk from the aspect of, oh my God, I don't know what's next. Oh my God, what am I going to do? And for me and my journey, it's like, I kind of have a gist of what's on the other side. So is it really risk? Or is it really this practical statement of, or the surface level statement, yet which holds true, this leap of faith? Right? There's so much, like, change can be brought up and provoked in so many different ways. And sometimes we don't, like, ever, for real, we don't even ask ourselves enough, how's this change presenting itself? We really don't. Sometimes the change comes before we even have time to think about it. Sometimes the change happens before we're even able to spell it out with a capital C. You feel me? It just happens. And then once the change gets done changing, whatever that may have you, you know, then we think about it. It's like, damn, all of this happened. How did it present itself? And then we realize it in our moments of reflection that, I think I kind of did this one. Yeah. Woo.
You with your little memes?
I've been memeing a lot as of late. Don't judge me.
Not judging. I embrace the memeing.
I appreciate you. I appreciate you. But on a serious note, when you think about it and you start reflecting on it, it's like, I kind of did that. Woo.
I love what you said about being able to change from a place of risk. It's like, what are you willing to do to change your life? What are you willing to risk to allow yourself to be who it is that you are?
Right.
To embrace who it is that you are. Because I feel like many people don't embrace who it is that they are because maybe there's guilt, maybe there's shame. I know for me, we were talking about it in the other podcast episode, that once I released the guilt around being myself, like my spine, like, aligned, because energetically that's how it manifested itself in my body. Like, I had so much guilt and shame around being who it is that I was, because I was given attention as a child for just being who it is that I am. Mm-hmm. You know, and I carried that, like, all my life until I did the release work for it was in career, about showing up as myself, as my authentic being of who it is that I'm meant to, or what it is that I'm meant to do, and how I'm meant to, like, show up in this world to help others. Yeah. Because it's like, when I feel like many times people who are religious tend to place judgments on others. And I'm talking about from a place of, like, oh, this person's doing this. Like, what do they think that they're capable of doing that? But it's like, you're just projecting that you think you're not capable of. But it's like, I understand, because with religion, there's so much guilt. There's so much shame that is, like, input into people in those spaces. You know, that programming is real right there. When you go into the religious aspect of it, like, recently I have seen this post, and it said something along the lines of, religious people are afraid of hell versus spiritual people have been through hell and have came out. So, you concur?
It's hot as shit down there in hell. Let me tell you. Imagine 50,000 heaters on 1,000 degrees. It's hot as shit. The religious piece that you touched on, is it really religion if we're judging? I think we fall into sometimes of that complex, and this is, like, my little hot take for the day, but is it really religion if we're judging? Is it really religious if we always go back to this default saying that we're all natural sinners, but yet we still continue to judge other people, knowing full well that it's not the right thing to do?
Well, I mean, even taking the word of religion out, mm-hmm. and saying, is it God's work to do this?
That part.
Like, is it God's work to judge people? Is it God's mm-hmm. work to shame people? Is it God's work for you to be who it is that you are? And, you know, if God created us, you know, knowing that he did, God created us in his image, what did he come to earth to do? He came to earth to help other people. So how is it that we're stepping into that role of helping other people? And how is it that we're taking back from just like entertainment or consuming? It's like, how are you helping your neighbor? It's like, are you helping your neighbor by making judgment? Are you helping your neighbor by criticism? Like, you're not. How can you make it so that you are doing God's work regardless of the religion that you're in? Because, I mean, I haven't studied our religions, but I'm pretty sure that it's all about helping each other and humanity as a species, you know?
Comes down to love.
Yeah, yeah. Very chunked up love, right? Authenticity. High vibrational. What is it called? Vibrations.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Yeah.
You ain't wrong.
Yeah.
You ain't wrong. Oh. You ain't lying. You ain't lying. I think that... I guess what I'm trying to say is that a lot of these practical statements, or not practical, excuse me, these societal statements, we're forced to look at it from a place to where we need to reframe it, or not forced, we're challenged, excuse me. We're challenged to reframe. We're challenged to look at things in a different note. We're challenged to view so much in a different way, but not only that, there's a plot twist. Ha ha ha. Plot twist behind that is where we educate those from a place of love. We don't have to get into this position of to where we got to turn this into like an egotistical debate, like that's wrong and you're wrong and you don't know nothing, Jack. No. When you think about it, it's from a place of love. It's from a place of compassion. It's from a place of like, how do you speak change or perspective into somebody while speaking their language? How do you speak change and different perspective from meeting somebody where they are at?
And how do you spark curiosity and conversation mm-hmm. instead of blame and judgment? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How can we be curious about what the other side is thinking? Because many times there is just programs that...
Facts.
So much consumption of the same thing. You just keep getting the same messages mm-hmm. and you're just placing somebody else's belief as your own, but you can't even defend it.
There you have it. You ain't lying. You ain't lying. Well, we're coming up on an hour. I love that challenge that you brought up as we land this plane. And I'm going to add one more to that. For one, how do you, viewer, listener, new and or existing, how do you provoke change in your life? What are some of the things that you need to review to establish this change in full effect? Where's change showing up for you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like what do you need to do to feel like you're risking trusting yourself? Mm. You're risking having faith in yourself. Mm. You're risking coming from a place of true authenticity and being who it is that you are. And if you're like, man, I don't even know who I am, then sit down with yourself and ask yourself those questions away from distractions, away from your phone. It's like, sit there and be like, who am I? Like, why was I put on this earth? Like, very existential question. But it's like, what kind of change do I want to bring here?
I think you said that better than I did. Whatever she said, folks. No, seriously. But on a serious note, you know, What are some of the things that you're reviewing in your life to where change needs to happen? How do you assert change?
How do you take accountability for mm-hmm. not changing things thus far? And how can you view yourself from a lens of compassion of okay, this is how I showed up in the past 30 years, for example, me, but I want something different. What am I willing to do? Who am I willing to be? What is that version of me willing to do to grow into that version of me? Because all versions of you exist all at the same time. You just have to tap in and release anything that doesn't serve you.
I love that. That said, we're going to end this episode on that note.
Thank you so much, community, for being here, for trying to be breaking out of the unhinged. I'm so excited to continue to grow and expand with everybody as we just share our voice and show up with love and authentically being who it is that we are.
I love that. And folks, thank you again. You chose, you could have been anywhere else, but you chose to be here. Hearing me talk about all types of pies, change.
And eating and boxes and pizza.
I'm telling you, man, Maury Povich determined that, you know, I'm related to Donatello and Leonardo and all them other Ninja Turtles. You know what I'm saying? So I think I'm just telling you, man, I'm going to have to get a sponsorship with Pizza Hut or Domino's. Somebody give me some pizza. I'm getting some out of this before. Somebody give me some.
You will.
I'm leaving with some. I'm from around the way. I'm leaving with some. You hear me? But no, y'all could have been anywhere, but y'all chose to be here with us. And with that being said, again, folks, this is Break Out of the Unhinged.
Thank you for being here. Thank you for spending your morning, afternoon, evening with us here. We're grateful for you.
Most definitely. Be safe, y'all.
Bye.